As we enter into worship, put away the pressures of the world that ask us to perform, to take up masks, to put on brave fronts. Silence the voices that ask you to be perfect. This is a community of compassion and welcoming. You do not have to do anything to earn the love contained within these walls. You do not have to be braver, smarter, stronger, better than you are in this moment to belong here with us. You only have to bring the gift of your body, no matter how able, your seeking mind, no matter how busy, your animal heart, no matter how broken. Bring all that you are and all that you love to this hour together. Let us worship together. We reflect in thanksgiving this day for all those whose lives have nurtured ours, the life-giving ones who heal with their presence, who listen in sympathy, who give wise advice, but only when asked for it. We are grateful for all those who have mothered us, who have held us gently in times of sorrow, who celebrated with us our triumphs, no matter how small, who noticed when we changed and grew, who praised us for taking risks, who took genuine pride in our success, and who expressed genuine compassion when we did not succeed. On this day that honors mothers, let us honor all mothers, men and women alike, who from somewhere in their being have freely and wholeheartedly given life and sustenance and vision to us. Dear God, Mother, Father of us all, grant us life-giving ways, strength for birthing, and a nurturing spirit that we may take attentive care of our world, our communities, and those precious beings entrusted to us by biology or by destiny or by friendship, fellowship, or fate. Give us the heart of a mother today. Amen.
My first reading is a poem titled Lineage by Margaret Walker. My grandmothers were strong. They followed plows and bent to toil. They moved through fields, sowing seed. They touched earth, and grain grew. They were full of sturdiness and singing. My grandmothers were strong. My grandmothers are full of memories, smelling of soap and onions and wet clay, with veins rolling roughly over quick hands. They have many clean words to say. My grandmothers were strong. Why am I not as they? And another poem, this one titled Poem at 39 by Alice Walker, no relative. How I miss my father. I wish he had not been so tired when I was born. Writing deposit slips and checks, I think of him. He taught me how. This is the form, he must have said, the way it is done. I learned to see bits of paper as a way to escape the life he knew, and even in high school had a savings account. He taught me that telling the truth does not always mean a beating, though many of my truths must have grieved him before the end. How I miss my father. He cooked like a person dancing a yoga meditation and craved the voluptuous sharing of good food. Now I look and cook just like him, my brain light, tossing this and that into the pot, seasoning none of my life the same way twice, happy to feed whoever strays my way. He would have grown to admire the woman I've become, cooking, writing, chopping wood, staring into the fire. Honoring mothers and others, honoring the past, nurturing the future. In the latest edition of the newsletter, I wrote a blurb about this sermon in which I referred to the sentimentality and commercialism of Mother's Day. Today, in my ongoing quest for authenticity in the face of sentimentality and true worth in the face of commercialism, I want to speak briefly about the nurturing persons in our lives, whether they are mothers or fathers or neither. And I want to put in a few good words about finding opportunities for nurturing the future, regardless of our parental status. Now, I'm glad to see that there is someone else who does not sentimentalize Mother's Day. In her newsletter column, the Reverend Jane Jepka says it this way, and I believe that her words are equally relevant for fathers, too. You fathers, just replace yourselves for the mothers mentioned in this passage. Jane says, on Mother's Day, one expects to read about the wonder and glory of motherhood. While I can tell you from personal experience that we mothers like to be appreciated, I can also tell you that a rosy and sentimental Mother's Day column always refers to mothers in some other family. The picture painted there is not me, not my mom, and not my grandmother's. In my family, mothers do not suffer more than any other mortals, nor are we particularly unsung. We complain when we trip over the shoes on the living room floor, and we expect little praise for carrying the daily grand accumulation at the bottom of the stairs up the aforementioned stairs. We do not deserve or expect devotion from our children. We wanted to have children. It was our idea. If they come around from time to time when they are grown-ups, we are ever so glad. But if they live their lives as secure and independent souls, we value that. Motherhood in my family is not always the most important job in the world. Some of us are actually good at it. Some of us shuffle along and do our best. And a few are better off in other professions. We try to face that. Mother's Day is no day to romanticize parenthood. Parenting is a down-to-earth process if ever there was one. So this Mother's Day, let's humanize Mom. Thank her for doing what she could, given all the dirty socks. Thank her for loving you as well as she was able, in spite of your 3 years in junior high school. And then let her thank you for the privilege of being your mother. And that's what Jane had to say, and I say yes. Now, as you know, Mother's Day itself began as anything but a sentimental holiday. It started in 1872 at the initiative of our own Julia Ward Howe, a Unitarian, and the author of the words to A Battle Hymn of the Republic. But far more than that, her accomplishments did not end there. She saw some of the worst effects of the Civil War, not only death and disease, which killed and maimed the soldiers. She worked with the widows and orphans of soldiers on both sides of the war, and she realized that the effects of war go far beyond the killing of soldiers in battle. She also saw the economic devastation of the Civil War, the economic crises that followed the war, and the restructuring of the economies of both North and South. So she took on a new issue and a new cause. distressed by her experience with the realities of war and determined that peace was one of the two most important causes of the world, the other being equality in its many forms. And seeing war arise again in the world in the Franco-Prussian War, she called for women to rise up and oppose the war in all its forms. She wanted women to come together across national lines to recognize what we hold in common above what divides us and commit to finding peaceful resolutions to conflicts. She issued a declaration hoping to gather women in a Congress of Action. Well, we could say that her idea failed to get formal recognition for Mother's Day for Peace. That came later. But first I want to read you the Mother's Day proclamation written by our own Julia Ward Howe. Just excerpts from it. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be of water or of tears, say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave what may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a general conference of women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient at the earliest period consistent with its objects. To promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace. Nothing remotely sentimental about that. Well, her protests, which is what they turned out to be at Mother's Day for Peace in Boston, continued for some years, gradually becoming less and less fierce, until finally in 1915, Mother's Day was proclaimed nationally. Certainly by then, it had lost its character of struggle and protest. Well, that's part of honoring the past of my sermon title. It's important for us to honor the way customs get started, especially when there were Universalists or Unitarians starting them. And it's so important to see how they evolve from the fierce protests of a committed few to the bland sentimentality by the many. But The nurturing the future part of my sermon title certainly has relevance today. I'm going to shift gears considerably here. I like these words from Mary Gordon in her book titled Of Men and Angels. She looked at the clock. It was 2:30. Soon the children would be home. She waited for the sound of their arrival as if she were dressed for a party, listening for a taxi. No one had told her what it would be like, the way she loved her children. What a thing of the body it was. Once the children were in the house, the air became more and more heated. Every object in the house became more alive. How I love you, she always wanted to say. And you can never know it. I would die for you without a thought. You have given to my life its sheerest, its profoundest pleasure. But she could never say that. Instead, she would say, how was school? Was lunch all right? Did you have your math test? It was such an odd thing, motherhood. She didn't understand how people could say, she's a good mother, in the same way as they said, she's a good neurosurgeon, or she sings well. It wasn't a skill. There was no past practice to be consulted and perfected by strict application and attention to detail. There was no wisdom you could turn to. Every history was inadequate. For every new case was fresh. End of quote. And lest you think that nurturing is confined to the female of the species, let me read you a passage about a man who was way ahead of his time, Abraham Lincoln. Abe Lincoln took many a severe whipping as a boy from his backwoods father. With his own children, he adopted a strikingly modern notion of discipline that didn't fit at all with the prevailing view. He treated them with great kindness and respect and encouraged them with praise. His wife, Mary Todd, remembered and wrote down this family emancipation proclamation that the great man had uttered. It is my pleasure that my children are free, happy, and unrestrained by parental tyranny. Love is the chain whereby to bind a child to its parents. End quote. A member of a congregation I served a number of years ago, at my request, wrote down some comments on what being a mother meant to her, and I have her permission to share them with you. Some excerpts. Mothers, if their value could be recognized in a professional world, would certainly be referred to as efficient multitaskers. To a mom, however, this multitasking talent is taken for granted as just plain survival. It is what a mother needs just to make it through the day. If the government only realized how adept mothers are at insider trading and the enormous amount of power they derive from conflicts of interest, the position of motherhood would surely be regulated more closely. Just as the art of mothering encompasses many areas of expertise, the way in which women become mothers is likewise a beautifully creative endeavor. For many of us, we had the joy of birthing our children from our own bodies. For others of us, our role as mother did not come through our womb, but instead we became mothers through the love that was conceived in our hearts. My life, she says, as a woman has been many times blessed. by the children I gave birth to, by the child I adopted, and by the many children I fostered who passed through my life briefly, but left an abundance of love. Although I continue to recall liking my children differently on different days, depending on who did what to whom, my love for each of them has been abiding. And she continues, whether I birthed these children or acquired them, I hope that I, as their mother, validated and sanctified their birthright as being born into the family of human beings. Whatever their personal challenges, I hope I gave them the courage to grow up to be the person they were born to be. In return, each of my children bestowed on me unsurpassed joy and heartache, wrinkles and gray hair, the ability to laugh with abandon, the faith to believe in tomorrow, the wisdom to understand that nothing great happens without tremendous commitment and hard work, and most importantly, each of my children taught me the utter beauty of unconditional love. For each of them, I give thanks this day. From the process of collecting and absorbing others' characterizations of motherhood and fatherhood, I'm seeing how nurturing the future can apply to all of us. And I'm seeing how the nurturing can apply to those of our history as well as to those of our future. I'd like to point out just briefly that in our own Unitarian Universalist Association, one of the items that will be on the agenda for the General Assembly next month is a statement of conscience on peacemaking. Now, it's a number of pages long, so I will not read it to you today, but I do urge you to look at the UUA website and see these applications of our wish to be peacemakers in the future. But speaking of the future, Alice Walker says in a poem speaking to her grandmothers, quote, rest in peace. In me, the meaning of your lives is still unfolding. Rest in peace. In me, the meaning of your lives is still unfolding. The grandmothers, the grandfathers, and all of the ancestors are forever connected to us in the present generation, and our actions will forever carry out the meaning of their lives. So we ourselves nurture them in memory. Rest in peace. You did not live in vain. And I'm seeing that nurturing the future takes place in a multitude of ways, offering opportunities to celebrate those life-giving capacities that we all possess, offering gifts to the universe, whether those gifts be of our children whom we raise as well as we can, or whether they be of our spirit and intelligence that we express in making the world a better place for all. There are many ways of celebrating being creative, as Eric Erickson would say, being generative. And Mother's Day and Father's Day, at their best, celebrate the nurturing and generative spirit, a sense of connection with all generations who came before us and who will come after us. So let us celebrate the best that is in us now. Let us honor it in our ancestors, and let us nurture it in the world that we are creating, that is yet to come. So may it be.
Every week we gather in this beautiful space to find peace. Each week, words and music offer and celebrate peace with the hope of instilling it in us. Now, take the peace you have found here back out into the world with you. Renewed in our faith and inspired to act, let us be the peacemakers the world aches for. And, by being peacemakers, let us find the peace we long for. Go in peace, make peace, be at peace.